When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He is Grant Cohn. Grant, we are a day away from 49ers rookie minicamp.
And it's 2 days. It's so generous of the 49ers, knowing we have nothing to talk about. Tomorrow is interviews. So the plan, maybe this is how they always do it, I forget, but tomorrow is interviews. The players come in and they talk about how excited they are to be on the 49ers, how hard they're going to work, how they're going to do whatever the coaches ask of them to do, and they're going to really soak up the knowledge of the veterans like a sponge. We're going to hear all of that tomorrow. It's going to be great. But it is kind of cool. Like, I remember the first time George Kittle talked at rookie minicamp, and you get a first impression of these players, and they leave and you're like, is he going to make it? Is he serious? Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. I remember Joe Williams came in a suit and everyone was like, this guy's a fraud. He's trying too hard to impress us. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. So I like that game, which is tomorrow. And then Friday is practice. That's cool.
I didn't realize. That's the first time I ever heard that Joe Williams story. He legit wore a suit to the press conference.
Wore a suit. And no one else did that. And it's like, why are you trying so hard to show that you're serious? Oh, because you're not.
And then did he ever even get on the field? I know he didn't play in a game, but like,
played in the preseason and didn't run that hard.
Oscar says, Grant, you're in the suit jacket. You look like you're going to do a sit down with the bosses.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm going for the Miami Vice look in my bedroom.
Don't walk into an empty room, Grant. That's trouble. I'm just going to, if you open the door and no one's in the room, look behind.
Uh-oh.
You.
Oh, goodness. God.
So I have been in the lab. I've been writing down what I think are the top five 49ers storylines going into rookie minicamp. So if you'll indulge me, we could bat these around a little bit.
I like it.
First one to me with a bullet. Can Ricky Pearsall take Juwan Jennings' job at wide receiver 3?
I completely agree. Sorry to cut you off, but thank you. Ricky Pearsall is the number one storyline this offseason.
And I know how you operate, Grant. I can predict what's going to happen. If Ricky Pearsall drops a pass, I'm going to see the article from you. It's going to say, Dante Pettis sucked in rookie minicamp. Maybe Ricky Pearsall sucks too. He dropped a pass.
I'm going to restrain myself. I don't want to bury Ricky Pearsall early on. And I actually think he's going to be pretty good. So I don't want to overreact. But if he stinks, I'll say so. AJ Jenkins stunk. And people were afraid to say it. They're like, what? Can we say that he's terrible? Like, maybe it's just it's early on in his career. Like, no, say it. And if he is, I'll say it. But I don't expect him to be terrible. I expect him to be a rookie, a typical rookie.
Let me ask you a weird question. Is it possible for both Ricky Pearsall and Renardo Green to have a good rookie minicamp?
Certainly. I suppose so. They won't be facing each other every time. And if they face each other multiple times, maybe Pearsall wins some and Green wins some. We'll have to see how it plays out. But that'll be definitely the best battle to watch on Friday.
Here's the scariest part for Pearsall, because just based on Kyle and how he seems to operate, I feel like he can't have a bad practice. Because if he does, Kyle's going to be like, this guy sucks. Doghouse, you're out. Juwan Jennings is wide receiver 3. I feel like he's got to walk a tightrope, Ricky Pearsall.
Here's another way to look at it. Juwan Jennings doesn't always play so well in the offseason. He's a bit more of a gamer. He kind of takes a little while to get himself into form. And Ricky Pearsall is supposed to be not that kind of a player. So if this is really a competition, Pearsall could win it. It'd be really interesting to see. They're very different players.
I liked seeing Pearsall already working out with Deebo Samuel. I thought, first of all, I was stunned to see Deebo Samuel working out. So maybe that's a nice little bonus. But Pearsall strikes
maybe
me.
That's why they drafted Pearsall.
Pearsall strikes me as a dude that is literally just all about football, like nothing else going on. Herm Edwards told me he would drive to Arizona or to San Francisco from Arizona every day to work out with Brock Purdy, if that's what it took. And I love the fact that he's already doing it.
You can't drive from Arizona to Santa Clara in a day. That's a long drive. It's a 2-day drive. You wouldn't know. You're in Connecticut. Herm Edwards gaslit you.
I have no idea how long that drive would be. It's a 14-hour and 46-minute drive.
Oh, I guess you could do it in a day. Ricky Pearsall would do it in a day. How about that?
Imagine driving for 15 hours and then getting out and working out and then getting back in the car for 15. Right.
And that's like no breaks, no eating, nothing. Like, yeah, that's a danger to society.
But I think Pearsall and his camp, especially if it's bad too, because people already think the 49ers made a bad pick, a bad choice, overdrafted, all that stuff. You know, if he has a couple drop passes or a comment like who was the guy that was like, was it Jamar Chase? The football is different in college and the pros. And I forget if it was Jamar Chase, but like the vultures are going to be out for Pearsall early.
Here's the tough one for Pearsall. He probably won't play that much as a rookie. Not his fault. He got drafted to the Niners. There's going to be a bunch of receivers drafted after him that will play as rookies. Some of them are going to produce, and he's going to be compared to them. And it's going to be just uncomfortable. That's what's tough about being a first-round pick. There's a lot of scrutiny, and if you don't produce right away, people are going to let you hear about it. So he's going to be in that position probably, and that's too bad.
I'm interested to see his press conference. Has he worked out with Brock? Has he been told that he has a chance to be wide receiver 3? Like, is that, I mean, he's a first round pick. Most first round picks are going to find their way to the field in year 1 as rookies. Has he been told he could win the wide receiver 3 job? I want to know about that. Has he been told where he's going to play? Is he going to be in the slot? Is he going to be out wide? I want to know all that stuff. I'm fascinated to get to know all these guys.
The way I look at it is the culture the Niners have created with Kyle Shanahan and this veteran team. They don't make any promises to rookies, even if you were drafted in round 1. And Pearsall, like, he's not really a classic first-round pick. It was the 31st pick in the draft. So the Niners can treat him like a second-round pick and say, look, man, we like you, but everyone on our offense is established. We had the number 1 offense in the league last year or close to it, and we don't want to change anything, but be patient, work hard, and there might be a future for you here.
I guess I'm focused on it partly in because of what Willie Snead said, right? Oh, the 49ers don't let guys compete for roster spots. They're afraid. Mm-hmm. Ray McLeod chiming in, which thanks for that, Ray. Makes me wonder, like, does he have a legit shot to take Jennings' job? Or is it like Snead is saying that, like, nope, Juwan is there, 3rd and Juwan, we love him, and that's his job no matter what?
I kind of think there's something to what Willie Snead and Ray are saying. I think Kyle sort of builds the depth chart in his mind, and there has to be a lot of evidence to the contrary for him to change what he perceives as being the best 11. Like back in 2019, ancient history, it was clear that Raheem Mostert was the best running back on the team, and Kyle Shanahan stuck with Tevin Coleman forever, and it didn't make any sense. So I think there is a little bit of that with Kyle. Like, no, I see it my way. I'm right. I'm going to prove it. where if there was like real competition, maybe Ray Ray would have gotten a few more targets than he did. It seemed like every time they threw the ball to Ray Ray or gave him the ball, he actually did good things on offense. Like, yeah, he was much more dangerous than Kyle Juszczyk, but he wasn't as...
I don't think we missed out on any Ray Ray McCloud.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm not here to actually... No, I'm not going to do that.
Did you see I got my Ray Ray jersey?
Wow.
Ricky Pearson.
Wow.
Yep.
First of all, why do you have that?
This is legit. I lost a bet. I lost a bet to Michelle Majuk, who hosts with me on Fridays. We made our Niners predictions before the year. Hers ended up better than mine, so I had to buy
that
and wear a Sam Darnold jersey on the show.
That's high stakes.
I know.
That's throwing money away and embarrassing yourself at the same time. It's okay. I respect it.
Cost me $50.
Oh, no,
rip the name tag off the back and put a Pearson. Maybe I just...
It was like an investment. Now that 14 is going to be a legendary Niners number.
That's a terrible number. Like, that's
Jim. They got to get him a new number.
Yeah, that's no good.
No. 19's right. Available.
That's true. Is it? Or is that... Did Wisnowski take that? I know he changed his number. I don't know what
Wisnowski
it was.
Took it?
I don't know. I don't know that.
Does that mean they're going to let him run the ball? Is he wide back Wisnowski now?
I've been waiting for them to run a fake with Mitch Wisnowski since he was drafted. All I heard about was Australian football. Let's see it, man.
He had to call his own number and he picked up the first down. Mitch, go rogue. If you got a feeling, do it.
He'll never, ever do it. All
right. He's an offensive weapon. He's a special teams weapon. He's just an all-around weapon.
Rookie minicamp storyline number two.
Two.
Will either Isaac Garendo or Cody Schrader make Elijah Mitchell expendable? Because I think Elijah Mitchell, I said it last year that I thought his roster spot was in jeopardy, and I'm saying it this year too.
Can I say that I think Elijah Mitchell has made Elijah Mitchell expendable?
That's fair.
I mean, he's washed, and it brings me no joy to say that, but I think he's had so many injuries. His knee's never healthy. He plays 2-3 weeks and then he's out. It's like enough. But those two, I mean, here's the real issue. Kyle, for whatever reason, loves Elijah Mitchell. He might like Debo, but he loves Elijah Mitchell. So I just feel like Elijah Mitchell is going to be on this team forever, no matter what. And I don't know why.
What is the point of drafting Isaac Garendo if he can't beat out Elijah Mitchell? I mean, he's basically...
They don't like... Jordan Mason's the one Kyle doesn't like, and I don't understand that.
Well, I think Mason will be on the team because they like him on special teams.
Okay.
Which Garendo...
They know we like him. They know other teams would like him. He would play. They just don't want to play him. He's like, I don't get it.
We have seen the less heralded, lower drafted running back outperform the higher drafted guy with this team multiple times, especially when the two higher drafted guys were Trey Sermon and Ty Davis Price. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be Garendo. Maybe it'll be Cody Schrader. I'm fascinated to see how a 5'8 running back that runs a 4.61 is going to do, but I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I mean, he was the leading rusher in the SEC last year. It seems like in preseason, he's probably going to look a lot better than Garendo running the ball. Garendo could make the team as like the kick returner, but if he's not a particularly good kick returner, he could get cut. I don't know. I've watched his highlights. It doesn't seem like he's a particularly natural running back. Doesn't seem like he has great vision, like he's particularly decisive, like he has a feel for it, as opposed to Cody Schrader, who just does.
Mitchell Ness says, Elijah Mitchell is a lock. That's one of Kyle's boys. You nailed it, Grant. Oscar Alfaro says Garendo is the new juice. That would be insane to have a fullback that runs a 4.33 at 220 pounds. That would be unbelievable.
That would be incredible. That's Larry's prediction that he's going to play fullback. I don't know what he's going to really do. It seems like the Niners were thinking that they might replace Debo Samuel, like up until a couple hours before round two, or maybe during round two, so day two. I don't know. It seemed like they got a bunch of players who could potentially do the things he does. Pearsall, Cowing, Garendo. one player can't really replace Debo.
But I like the idea of just stopping the whole Debo running out of the backfield thing. Like, it's not working anymore. Take that punishment off of him. Let him actually just be a straight up wide receiver. I mean, I remember in 2021, the dude had 1,400 yards like in half a year as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen him be able to do it. Just let him focus on that and give it to Garendo for those carries. He's just as fast as Debo, if not faster. He's big. Like, maybe that he can take that load off of Debo and the whole running back thing is just over.
I think they've been trying to do that. I mean, that's why they drafted Ty Davis Price. They've been trying to take that load off Debo. And again, I think maybe this is Debo's final season on the team.
Yeah.
But statistically, they're much better with Debo on the field than without him. Like, yards per play, I think it's like a full yard higher. So if they do move on from him eventually because he's getting older or he's expensive, they have to replace that element in their offense, and it's not going to be one guy who replaces it.
I'm fine with that.
I think they
can do it. I think they'll be okay. Next rookie minicamp storyline I want to talk about, and this is not involving a rookie, but it's something that's going to take place over the next 2 days, is the Nick Sorensen press conference, Grant. I want to ask this guy, what the hell is going on with your defense? Like, what is Brandon Staley's role with your defense? Is it even your defense? Are you just calling his plays? Did they tell you they were going to hire him when they hired you? Like, did you have an interview? There's so many questions that I want to hear from Nick Sorensen, because I am still very skeptical about this working out. It's the first time he's meeting the media. Kyle, I think, hasn't even officially released like his coaches, right? With like titles and everything for everybody. So I'm fascinated by the Nick Sorensen thing. I want to hear from him because he's got to really sell me on this idea because I'm skeptical.
Like, how did you get this job? What is your vision? No, I'm curious, serious. Like, what is your vision for this defense? What did you say in your interview that got you the job? Because we're all wondering why Brandon Staley's here, and we've made assumptions, and it kind of seems now that what Sorensen is here to do is interact with the players on the field, in the team meetings. They know him. He ran the turnover meeting, the get the ball meeting. They do it once a week. So this team has sort of heard him. At least the defense has. The defense has. He's been leading a meeting in front of the entire defense once a week for a couple years. So they like him. They respond to his message, his messaging. But is he a mouthpiece for Brandon Staley? Is he parroting what Brandon Staley tells him to say? Or does he actually have his own vision for this defense? I don't know if we'll find out, but that's what I want to know.
And like, okay, so your job is to take the stuff that Brandon Staley comes up with, right? The new twist on whatever they want to, however they want to change the 49ers defense, right, and then fit it into the Niners system, so to speak. It's like, right, well, okay, why couldn't you do that with Steve Wilks last year? Like, I know that's why I'm skeptical of this whole thing. It just seems really, really weird, especially because I believe Kyle said that like they knew they were going to hire Sorensen when they talked to Staley. I thought that's what he said. I need to go back and double check that. But basically, like, if that's the case, did they tell Staley that they were bringing in, or did they tell Sorensen that they were going to bring in Staley as the assistant coach and kind of this babysitter thing? I want to know all the details around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like if the Niners had kept Steve Wilks after the year, but demoted him and then promoted Nick Sorensen. It's sort of like the same setup. It's like, okay, like this is very similar to last year, but it's with this one difference. Why is this better? Like, why is Sorensen all of a sudden the voice that you needed and he wasn't last year? Like, I don't understand.
I also think it could be a good chance to get some answers about last year. Hey, Nick, why the hell was the defense so porous last year? Why couldn't you stop the run last year? How the hell are you going to fix that this year with no air? Like, I mean, he's got some work cut out for him.
Yeah, did the Niners run defense get better this offseason? Now, Talanoa Hufanga coming back helps, but Greenlaw being gone doesn't, and Armstead being gone doesn't, and Leonard Floyd being here doesn't help the run defense. So I'm curious to see how the Niners handle that one.
Trey Lance Monday says, my boy Stats got to be 120 pounds soaking wet. Joke's on you, 140 pounds.
140. Yeah. I was going to say 150, but yeah, he's in phenomenal shape.
Phenomenal. Jason Love says, Jordan Mason won't make the team. He barely gets 6 yards per carry, trash. That's funny.
Thank you.
Sway says, comment from Sneed makes sense. Why Trey didn't win the quarterback job in 21? I don't want to relitigate the whole Trey Lance thing. Willie Sneed. I think Willie Sneed just is on his way out of the league, didn't want to admit it to himself, and said that the 49ers don't let people compete. Because I asked him, I was like, who do you think you should have gotten a job over? And he didn't answer. He was like, well, they can't give a 10-year vet that was a walk-on a job because it makes people look bad. And it's like, okay, maybe, but doesn't it make whoever signed you look good for signing you? And if that's
well, the answer would be Danny Gray, right?
Maybe. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Danny Gray's got this roster spot for 2 years because he was a third-round pick. He's got one catch in his career. I'm cool. Licking their chops, thinking, I want that roster spot. I should have that roster spot. I don't know. But Willie, good luck getting a roster spot. I wish you all the best.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Next minicamp storyline, Renardo Green. Remember the clip of D'Amador Lenore from his rookie minicamp that got Kyle fined because they were doing too much? Like, are we going to get sneaky Renardo Green clip? Where it's like, ooh, Renardo Green looks like a dog. He's got, look at him breaking up these passes. Renardo Green, that is our nickel corner right there.
Well, okay, maybe. But let's go back and remember D'Amador Lenore's rookie year. He had that moment in rookie minicamp, and then he played during the season and got benched. It took him a while to come into his own. So what I'm curious to see with Renardo Green is he ready? Or is he going to be on the D'Amador Lenore track where it takes him a few years? And that could be okay too, but we're still trying to figure out who's going to make the impact on this team this year. And is it going to be him? Is it going to be Isaac Yadam? Like, Isaac Yadam's interesting. He was the third corner last year for the Saints, and he put up good numbers, and he broke up like 14 passes. Great. Gave up a quarterback rating of 83, but the previous 6 years of his career, he was horrendous. Not like subpar. He was like unplayable. He was a huge liability. So, they don't know who the number three corner is going to be. It's going to be interesting.
And I don't have as much like with D'Amador Lenore. I was willing to have patience. He was a fifth round pick. Renardo Green's a second round pick. Like, those are starters. You draft those guys to plug and play start. So I want to see it right away from Green. I want to see what Darrell Luter does. I know he's not going to be in the rookie minicamp, obviously, because he's not a rookie. But everybody after Luter was drafted said, we expect him to contribute right away because he's so polished, and we expect him to, you know, he's not going to be on the normal rookie scale. And we didn't really get to see it because he got banged up last year. So between Green and Darrell Luter, can the nickel cornerback emerge? And maybe Renardo Green can sort of stake his claim to that job in the next 2 days.
Yeah. Don't count out Darrell Luter. He's bigger than Renardo Green. One thing that's kind of concerning about Green, 64th pick in the draft. Okay. The last time, the only time Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took a corner that high, 66th pick, 2017. You remember who it was? Do you remember?
Akello?
Yeah. He's pretty good now. Took him about 8 years to put it together, though.
Yeah. He was a weird. He was like, I've never seen a corner that could, like, look unbelievable, like length, speed, look awesome. And then all of a sudden, like, he gives up a couple completions and he just goes in the tank, like loses all confidence and just roasted.
He was the Mike McGlinchey of corners.
Mm.
He would really get in his own head. He was like the opposite of Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman just believed he was the greatest cornerback of all time, no matter what. And Akello certainly didn't. Maybe he does now. He's actually a solid player for the Rams. But yeah, I'm curious to see, can the Niners actually scout corners early in the draft? Because last time they tried, they're 0-2. They had Akello and Ambry. So how are they going to do with Renardo?
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Don't just take, give with the Instax Mini Evo, a hybrid camera and printer with a classic retro design and a host of new features. 10 lens effects and 10 film effects give you 100 different ways to express yourself. Show how you see the world with an instant high-quality print. Discover endless possibilities to create and share with the Instax Mini Evo. Find out more at instaxus.com.
Sean says, Grant, thoughts and prayers for the Jewish community in UCLA right now. Question, which is more likely, Brock's completion percentage goes up or yards per attempt goes up?
I would think completion percentage. He was already at the top of the league in yards per attempt. Probably completion percentage, but if he's good, I don't know. I don't really expect either one to go up. He had great numbers last year.
That's the thing. I think Matt Maiocco has talked about this too. Like, statistically, it's going to be hard for Brock Purdy's statistics to go up. I mean, he completed 69.4% of his passes. He set the franchise passing yardage mark. He threw for 31 touchdowns. He threw for 9.6 yards per attempt. His quarterback rating was 113. His QBR was 72.8. Both of those led the league. Like, where's it going?
It was statistically one of the greatest seasons of all time by a quarterback. Statistically. The greatest season of all time by a Niners quarterback. Isn't that crazy to say? Joe, Steve never had a higher quarterback rating than Brock had last year. That's crazy. It's crazy. It's
wild, man. He was ridiculously efficient.
Yes, he was.
Unbelievably. Yes, he was. And yeah. I do think
all-time great year.
I think it's possible for Brock to be a better quarterback and a better player this year, even though he might put up worse statistics. I think that can be true, but statistically, it's going to be tough.
He did put up worse statistics in all three of the playoff games, so I wonder, like, was that just because it was raining or because what are you playing better teams? Although Detroit and Green Bay's defense weren't really great. I'm curious. We all know that the new book on Brock is play man coverage. If you can, try to take away the quick throws and force him to make tight window throws. Like, can other teams do that? And if so, are we going to see like a regression statistically? That's my question.
Thomas,
because Jimmy for sure got figured out. I don't think Brock is as limited as Jimmy. I don't think you have the right idea, but pulling it off might be tougher.
Thomas Luttrell says, I don't care about Brock's regular season stats. I want to see him raise his postseason stats. His stats dropped drastically in the playoffs. Now
they didn't make a Jimmy G drop, but they did drop.
I think that Brock played really well in the second half of the Lions game. I think the Green Bay game, like the rain thing is real. He is not the same guy in the rain. When he, against the Packers, when he drops back and he's wiping his hand off at the top of his drop on the towel, like I have never seen that before. He's got to figure out like how to do that. I know Kyle doesn't practice with a wet ball because God forbid you disrupt practice in any way. Maybe he's got to start. Because that is a real thing with Brock. We've seen it a bunch.
Yeah, and it's like a lot of people make fun of Tua. Right? And when it's cold, he can't play in the cold. Da, 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 da. Like Purdy's the same. He can't play in the rain. And Tua, no one takes him really seriously. Like, don't pay him. He's limited. He's never going to fix these things. Should we not feel that way about Brock? I mean, his problem with precipitation isn't great. That's not something you really... They should really figure out if that's a thing before they give him all the money.
Great at anticipation, not good with precipitation.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
And that was.
I mean, it tends to rain in the Bay Area. It does. And in other parts of the country, especially in the playoffs.
I want to see that. That's why, like, the schedule comes out a week from today, I believe. A week from today at 8 o'clock Eastern, the schedule comes out. I'm fascinated to see the schedule. How many games, where do the 49ers play some of their games, their road games? Like, they're playing Miami. You want to play Miami early in the year, or later in the year, excuse me, rather than early, because it's hot as hell in Miami. You don't want to be roasting on the sideline in the beginning of the year in Miami. They have to go on the road to Buffalo. I would love to play Buffalo in September. I would not want to play Buffalo in November or December. So I think all that is going to be fascinating. And of course, like you said, how many of those games does it rain at and how does Brock do in them?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's his kryptonite, water.
He's like those aliens in, what was that, War of the Worlds? Was that the movie where the water killed them, or Signs? I can't remember. One of the
It might have been Signs.
I never actually saw Signs, so.
Yeah.
No, there. But, all right, those were my biggest rookie storylines. If you want to throw one more in there, like, is there an undrafted rookie that could open some eyes and make the team? Because they have Mason Plyne, their tight end, because they didn't draft a tight end.
Yeah.
Grayson Mays is a center. They could certainly use another center. He was another short shuttle king, as Jason Aponte called him. Drake Nugent, does he make the team? One of these offensive linemen would be really nice if one of these offensive linemen could open some eyes and make the team, because God knows they need it.
Tariq Owens is quite intriguing. I think everyone wants to know, what's he going to look like? Mason Plyne, he's a former basketball player who's learning. He's very athletic, but he seems like a practice squad project who may take a little time before he is ready to make a jump to the 53. I want to see Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback. This is the first quarterback the Niners have sort of brought in from college since they got Brock Purdy. And their resumes are similar. Their strengths are similar. I'm not saying he's Brock Purdy, but clearly the Niners have like a new template that they use to acquire young quarterbacks, and this guy fits it. So I want to see if the Niners can strike gold twice. I don't expect him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but is this guy Brock's long-term backup? He might be.
Tanner Mordecai ran a 4.46 40-yard dash. For a quarterback, that is fast as hell.
Are you sure? I saw 4.53. Either way, that's really fast.
I saw 4.46, which yeah.
Okay, I see 4.53 on Draft Scout, but I don't know if that's like gospel or whatever. But still, 4.53, that's moving.
Journal Sentinel has it at 4.46.
My goodness. All right. So it was at the pro day, so maybe it was hand timed, or maybe there's not an official time, but one way or another, he's moving.
But yeah, maybe they've got their sort of template to where it's, hey, this is what we know works. Yeah. We found it, you know, John Lynch has talked a lot about that, about how, like, as they've gone on in the system, it becomes easier to find, like, they know what they're looking for, essentially. Yeah. And I think at certain positions, you could say that. Quarterback, obviously, they haven't been able to find it until Brock, so we'll see. I guess he's going to get a lot of reps this week, Mordecai, so we'll hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like what did they learn with Brock? What works for them, and what didn't work with Trey Lance? A guy who played a lot of college football is a good fit for the 49ers, because there's so much pressure to produce right away. A guy who can move and sort of escape pressure is important. Height doesn't seem to matter. Arm strength isn't a big deal, although I think Mordecai has a stronger arm than Purdy. Really, it's our accuracy, anticipation, and work ethic, smarts, like a commitment to learning the system in a way that Jimmy wouldn't. And I don't know, but I don't know if Trey did or not. It seems like Trey had that, he had that reputation coming out of college. Man, all he does, he doesn't party at all. All he does is study. He was like, yeah, he's in North Dakota. Like, wait till he's out here. You know, we don't know yet. So Brock seems like he really, really is not partying, and he's like really dedicated, at least now, to learning everything a way like Nick Mullins. Well, he's like Nick Mullins with physical talent. Sorry, Nick.
The whole thing on Brock was that he, you know, really went to work on his mechanics before the draft, and he improved his arm strength and everything. Obviously, he couldn't do that last year because he was recovering from the surgery. Does he, you know, come back this offseason after a full offseason of being healthy? Is his arm any stronger? Is he able to make another jump? I feel like I don't know how much of an improvement you can make. It seems to me like it's kind of, you know, you get what you get. You don't get upset when it comes to arm strength, but hell, maybe he will. I don't know.
I think he absolutely could. And I don't think the arm strength is really like lifting weights. I think it's more like a fluidity of motion. Like throwing is different than throwing doesn't necessarily, you don't have to be strong. Like Tim Lincecum threw hard. He couldn't hit the ball hard, but he could throw the ball 97 miles an hour. It's more like just efficiency of movement. And I think the more he throws, like, Tom Brady's arm got stronger as he went in the NFL. It could happen for sure. And like, let's not forget, everyone laughs, but in retrospect, because it didn't matter. But Brock wasn't good in camp last year. He didn't play in OTAs. He wasn't good in camp. It took him a while to get going. He even said halfway, like early on in the season, I'm not back yet. I'm not fully back yet. Now he is. So I want to see what third-year Brock, who's fully back, can do against a good defense in camp. I would expect him, not that it really matters, but I'm expecting him to like really light it up because I think he's really good, and I think that's what really good quarterbacks do.
And I want him to like take ownership of the team. I want him to act and talk and think like it's his team, not George's team or Trent or no, him. He's the man. He's the guy that has come in and grabbed. I mean, he took the job away from the guy that they gave up a king's ransom to go and get. Act like it now. No more a shucks guy. Act off the field the way you'd act on the field. It's really, in a nutshell, what I want.
He's got a little too much aw shucks for where he's at his point. I mean, it was great at first. Like, hey, you know, I'm just the third string quarterback and I don't want to upset anything. And this is George's team and this is Christian's team. And I'm just playing my position like, no. They're about to make you the highest paid player on the team. And you probably deserve it if you have another good year because you're the quarterback and you're the leader. So it's time to stop. It's time for you to take ownership of the team. It's your offense. It's your team.
There is a process of dealing with failure and there is a process of dealing with success, which I don't think as many people focus on, but dealing with success is a real thing. Dealing with expectations is a real thing. Brock has handled everything great since he's become the starter. This is the next sort of hurdle for him and we'll see if he can do it. By the way, I didn't mention this when we mentioned the schedule. The scuttlebutt. The word on the street, Grant, is that the Niners are going to be playing in London next year. You got your passport ready?
Yeah. That'll be fun. I've never been to London. It's a long way to go. But going to Mexico City a couple years ago was the most fun road trip I've had so far. So
really? Why?
Great. Let's do it. Sounds fun.
What was good about Mexico City?
I had no idea what to expect. I'd been to Sayulita. My brother got married there. It's a tiny little beach town a little north of Puerto Vallarta. So I've been like a little surfing town on the coast. This is Mexico City. It's bigger than LA. It's like New York. It's so packed in. And I didn't know what to expect. And I don't really speak Spanish. And people there don't really speak English. So I was kind of like a fish out of water. But just sort of trying to navigate myself through one of the biggest cities in the world is amazing. And where the NFL put us, like where we were staying, was one of the nicest neighborhoods in Mexico City. So I was like in like the Beverly Hills of Mexico City. It's incredible. It was so much fun. I'll go back.
Well, let me just say you're in for a little bit different weather than Mexico.
Yeah, and different food. The food was so, so good. So good.
Yeah. This whole rumor started, by the way, because Deebo Samuel was on the NFL UK Twitter handle and said there's big news coming. So that
Deebo's just doing this so the Niners don't trade him. Can't trade me. I'm promoting your team. I'm wearing your logo. Sorry. Change my number.
It is hilarious to me that everybody's like, oh, Brock Purdy's not that good. He's got the Avengers around him. Look how good Deebo and Ayuk. And it's like Deebo and Ayuk were out there for the NFL world to go and get at the NFL draft. And nobody wanted to make an offer. Nobody wanted him, really. If they wanted him, they would have got him. And it's like, so
that's true.
You can't on the one hand say they're so good. They're incredible. They're doing all the work. They're the only reason for Brock Purdy's success. But then also everyone in the league could have traded for him. And nobody wanted to give up a first round pick for Brandon Ayuk. And nobody wanted to give up whatever it was the 49ers were asking for Deebo Samuel.
It is a little bit more complicated. That's a good point. It's a little bit more complicated when, you know, Adonai Mitchell is available after pick 50. Maybe you don't want to trade a first-round pick for a wide receiver in his mid to late 20s who's making more than $25 million a year. Like, maybe that's just a bad idea.
Worked out for the Eagles.
They didn't win a Super Bowl.
No, but I mean, not only did they clearly enjoyed it because they just gave him what, like $95 million this offseason.
Yeah, but as a Niner fan, you're the resident Niner fan here. I'm the skeptic. Are you worried about the Eagles?
No, but that has to do with their head coach and their quarterback. Then, like, I don't. AJ Brown is.
Yeah, but they still have Jalen Hurts. So
Clickbait Motorsports says the wide receiver market is saturated. Stats. It's called inflation, bud. Saturated with what? Rookies that are giant question marks? Because Brandon,
no, but he's right though. That wide receiver free agent market is crazy, man. If like Calvin Ridley's getting money like that, like you need to draft wide receivers. You need these guys on rookie deals because, oh my God, you're paying a premium for that, for those guys when they're 27.
If they're good, but you don't know if they're going to be any good. All these guys might suck. Half the guys taken in the first round are going to suck.
It's like the quarterback position too. Like if they're good, not even if they're Pro Bowlers, if they're good, if they had 1,000 yard season, that's $25 million a year now. And in 3 years, it'll be 30 with the cap going up. Wide receiver, it's going the way of the quarterback position in terms of contracts. It's crazy.
Well, this is what happens when all the best athletes become either quarterbacks or wide receivers. The best athletes used to be running backs. That's why they used to get paid so much. Now It's wide receivers and quarterbacks. And by the way, that is the much smarter move. Kudos to everybody for finally realizing it. But That's why every year we're like, this draft is full of wide receivers. Yeah, because they're all playing there.
They're a dime a dozen, which is all the more reason not to be really hesitant before you spend a ton of money on a wide receiver. They're a dime a dozen. And what's interesting about this draft, the first 14 or 15 picks were all offense. I mean, you can see where the NFL is going. It's clearly an offense league. And the most important positions are quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle. That's it. And pretty soon, those positions are going to be making so much money. You'll be spending $60 million a year on your quarterback, $30 million a year on one tackle, maybe 30 on the other tackle, maybe 30 on two wide receivers. That's your team. And then everyone else is on a rookie deal. That's going to be the team.
Nick Ellert says, can we stop with, did it win them a Super Bowl? That's not the goal for teams. It's just, did we get better? AJ Brown trade bad because it didn't lead to a Super Bowl. That's idiotic.
Okay. Well, they gave up a lot. They paid a lot. It's not going to get them over the hump. It wasn't the move that got them over the hump. It's not going to get them over the hump, but they can feel good about being in the mix. It's great.
Gold Howe says, how do we get the oldest free agents and the oldest draft picks? I think there's a little bit of a misconception with the draft picks, because if you look at the draft class as a whole, it's older than a lot of the draft classes that we've seen. A lot of the guys are staying in college now, and so they're older when they come out. Now, the 49ers, I think, did prioritize experience in this draft class. If you look at all of their picks, they all have a lot of experience in college, but like, most of the guys in the draft class were on the older end. So I don't know that like, the 49ers took all the old guys. I think just a lot of the guys available to be picked were older.
Also, I think if you look at the successes and the failures the Niners have had in the draft the last few years, look at the failures. Trey Lance.
No.
Drake Jackson. that's another one. Spencer Burford. Really young guys who were 20, 21 when they got drafted and didn't play a lot of college football and were asked to develop in the NFL. It's not a developmental league. I think the Niners have realized that. Now, you can find talent all throughout the draft, but it's really not very a developmental league. And the Niners don't have that kind of bandwidth or time. They're trying to win a Super Bowl. So you got to be ready to go.
And I think hopefully what they have realized too is like, hey, well, if these guys are more experienced when they come in, they're be able to contribute right away, because this whole redshirt to draft picks thing that they've been trying, like, no, you can't. It's not how it works in the NFL.
Yeah, you really don't develop playing on the, what was it called? The scout team. If you did, Trey would have, and he didn't. I think the Niners have learned a lot from that. I mean, they got burned on some high draft picks that they thought would develop. They had upside. They didn't do any of that this draft. And maybe that's the Adam Peters influence. He's a scout, a personnel guy. Those kind of guys love players with upside and potential. They're always trying to project. I think coaches are probably more pragmatic. What can I do with this guy now?
It's
easy for Adam Peters to be like, hey, yo, coach him up. That's your job, right? Kyle's like, me? I'm responsible for Drake Jackson. Like, good luck.
I feel like in the past, it was like, Adam Peters really liked this guy, or so-and-so really liked this guy. Now, the past couple of years, what does John Lynch say? Oh, we had real, you know, real agreement. Everybody was really behind all these picks.
We're all convicted.
They're not giving credit, really, to anybody for any of the picks anymore. And I thought it was, Lynch was asked about Adam Peters and him not being there. And he gave like a very cold, I don't want to say it was like mean, but it was a very curt kind of cold response about like, yeah, we're grateful to Adam Peters for everything he did, but he's not here anymore. Kind of a thing. Like he did not want to venture there.
Imagine if there was a narrative that like, yeah, you know, Rob Stats Guerrero is kind of the face of the Gold Standard Network, but really the person doing all the legwork is someone else. That would probably piss you off and you'd probably be aware of it. And if someone brought it up, you'd probably want to set the record straight. How could you not? So I think it's probably John's happy that Peters is gone and they can now take full credit for these picks. Because it's not like their drafts with Peters the last 2 years were so freaking great.
Right.
Convicted.
Sorry.
I didn't see that coming.
Convicted.
He hadn't said it. I noticed he hasn't used that word. And he didn't use it at all.
My dad made it a whole thing. And I don't think he watches the shows, but I think we've hammered the point so many times. I think it got back to him. Dude, you're saying it wrong. Look up the word.
Right. And also like, stop saying it so many times, like once or twice, say whatever, but holy hell. Yeah.
He said something else that was not a word.
Really?
He said efforting.
Yes.
That is so not a word. He invented that one. That was amazing.
That's a word we use in the radio business. Usually like when you're trying to get a guest, we're efforting Grant Cohn. We're efforting, you know, Peyton Manning.
Interesting.
When you're trying to get them to come on, or when they've agreed to come on and you're trying to get them on the phone. I always said efforting.
I've never heard that. So maybe it's an industry term that he picked up around Fox or something.
It could be. Yeah, I don't know. But
I just learned something.
Okay. I got like, excited because I was like, holy hell, I've never heard anybody else ever use that term outside of like...
I was like, that is not a word, but it's an industry term. Okay, I like it. All right, I like industry terms. I'll allow it.
Refresh the summer vibes with TikTok and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TikTokSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TikTokSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I didn't think of that maybe John Lynch is like fed up with all this credit that Adam Peters has gotten. He's like, hey, I've been here the entire time when all these guys have left and I'm not getting any love.
Or everyone assumes that all the good picks were Adam Peters. What about Solomon Thomas? Who the hell wanted him? Who wanted? I bet you there's a whole lot of picks that Adam Peters pounded the table for that were terrible. And John Lynch got all the flack for it. And that was kind of ridiculous. That it was almost a joke. Niner fans would just reflexively give Adam Peters all the credit for the good ones.
Yep. That was Vicious point was like, why he never gets any of the blame. It's always success stories that Adam Peters gets.
And again, now that you see how the Niners draft without him, I think it's fair to go back and look like, well, Drake Jackson is not the kind of guy they would draft now. Spencer Burford is not the kind of guy they would draft now. So maybe there were some misses. At the same time, on paper, Washington's entire offseason looks nice.
Except for the head coach they hired.
Terrible. So bad. Yeah, I have to agree with that one. Sorry, Dan Quinn. Nothing,
but yeah, he wanted too much money, so we're gonna go with Dan friggin' Quinn.
Is that essentially what happened?
Well, I mean that story came out money that Ben like turned teams off with how much money he wanted.
Oh, it was a money thing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll enjoy Dan Quinn.
Exactly. So anyway. Yeah. Last but not least, I want to mention we're going to do so. Michelle Mazzuk started this whole debate on Twitter that sort of took off about Brock Purdy and Jordan Love. who's better. And her stance is that Purdy's a better fantasy quarterback.
Pardon, I've never heard of her. What is her name and what does she do?
So Michelle Majuk hosts with me on Fridays on the Gold Standard.
Oh, sorry.
She's a researcher for NFL Network also.
Got it. Okay.
And so cool. We started this whole debate. And so we're going to do a live stream tonight because somebody from a Packers show got all bent out of shape about it. So we're going to have that battle. Where do you come down on the Brock Purdy, Jordan Love debate?
That's a tough one. So Jordan Love's played one season and Brock's played a season and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a tough one. So I think it's hard to say definitively either way. Both guys have a lot more to prove. Who would you rather have long term? I might go with the guy who's was the first round pick and has clearly more physical gifts. But right now, Brock has accomplished more in the NFL, like undoubtedly. So I think you have to give the edge to Brock right now. But if someone said they would bet on Love to have the superior career, just be the superior quarterback down the line, I couldn't argue it. I would probably rather have Jordan Love, but they're both really freaking good. And Jordan Love, I still can't get over what he did at the end of that game against the Niners. He was playing so well. He was having a very mature performance. And then he just said YOLO at the very last minute. I don't get it. But and Brock's never done that. He's had some bad moments, but not like that.
Not on first down. When you're trying to in the fourth quarter, when you're trying to come back, I mean that was a straight up YOLO throw. He was Jordan Love was drafted in 2020, and he's only had a year basically of experience as a starter. Like I don't think Brock gets enough credit for that. Hey, Brock Purdy, rookie quarterback, last pick in the draft, no reps at training camp because you were not even the third quarterback in training camp because friggin' Nate Sudfeld was here. Now you have to come in the middle of the season in a system where Matt Ryan needed a year before he got really comfortable in the system. And Brock came in and from the jump was playing better than any 49ers quarterback had played before him. And Jordan Love had like 3 years of sitting on the sideline in the same offense, watching the offense behind Aaron Rodgers. And he came in and stunk for half a year before figuring it out.
Yeah, but then he figured it out and he was really good. And I think it's just, like if these guys' career is a clock, 12 hours, we're like 1 hour into their career. Like we there's so much to learn. And I think they're both really, really off to great starts. What I like about Jordan Love is it seems like mentally he can handle the Shanahan complex offense. He's doing a good job with that. But physically, there's some things he can do that seem kind of unique. Like the way he can throw off his back foot, the way he can just sort of flick the ball. He has easy velocity. He's got touch. He's accurate. Like, what do you not like about Jordan? I think these are two of the better young quarterbacks in the league. What's not to like?
The only
I know you want me to pick one. I'm picking Jordan Love. But if you pick Brock Purdy, that's totally legit.
I don't like Love. I don't like that YOLO instinct that I love it. Like he said, if you go back and watch that game, he told the broadcast crew, I know I make throws sometimes that I shouldn't make, but I get away with a lot of them too. And it's like, ooh.
Well, you just ended your season on one, so let's see if you learn from that. Or maybe that's who you are. Because a lot of people were saying, this is the next Brett Favre. This is the next. He doesn't play like Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? He went down like Brett Favre last year. And I liked watching Brett Favre as a kid. He was great, but he did that a lot in his career.
He lost as many games as he won. Doing that because he had crazy incredible playoff games where he made all those crazy ass throws and the Packers won and games against I think it was the Rams 1 year where he had like four or five picks and they lost and it was just like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
So if Jordan Love is the heir apparent to Brett Favre and Brock Purdy is the heir apparent to Drew Brees, who would you rather have?
Well, Favre has more MVPs. They both have the one Super Bowl win. Favre got to two. Brees only got to the one.
Brees has better numbers, but he played in a different era. That's a tough one. I might go Favre. I don't know.
Steve Young kind of talks about like how as a quarterback now, you can't, the days of just playing within the system are over. That you have to be able to go above and beyond. You have to be able to extend and make plays. He's talked about it with Brock. Like, You have to figure out how you can go above and beyond. Is it using your legs more? Whatever it is, you have to find a way, because in Steve Young's opinion, the whole like playing within the system thing is not,
it's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. What's great about Brock is that he can do it. He just has to let himself, and Kyle has to empower him. And I think as Brock gets older, he should and will. I totally agree. And I think what we're seeing with these college quarterbacks that come out, college football has become just one big ad lib play. You run as many plays as you can. There's very little structure. It's a lot of just backyard football. So, you kind of have to adjust. If that's what college is producing, like that's what the NFL is going to become.
We'll see if Brock, what he can do in year two as a starter. It is close. I'm going to go with Brock just because I feel like I have a little bit of a bigger sample size. Like Jordan Love, everyone's basically talking about 8 games. That is a very, very small sample. Like,
and a complete evisceration of the Cowboys. But Brock did that too.
Who hasn't eviscerated the Cowboys? Let's be honest.
And on that note, thank you very much, everyone.
Well, shout out to Mike Florio on this, because did you hear Stephen Jones said, oh, the Cowboys, we're hanging around the rim. And Florio was like, no, you're not. The 49ers are hanging around the rim. They're the ones that are in NFC championship games and Super Bowls every year. The Cowboys are just standing on they're on the court, but they're not near the rim. And I totally agree.
I don't like that metaphor at all, hanging around the rim. You're either a champion or you're not. So don't talk to me about how close you are. That's just participation trophy language. And I don't stand for that in the NFL. No way. Especially on an iconic franchise like this. No.
Quality control.
But that's what quality control is all about, baby. It's what we do. I love covering a team like the Niners, man. We could be talking about a team like Jacksonville that doesn't freaking matter, but we don't. We cover like an American institution. It's more than a football team. It's a freaking institution, and it represents excellence. It does, and it should, and it's coming so close to regaining it. What a team to cover. It's really might be the best team to cover in the country. I can't think of a team I would rather cover.
It's a soap opera, man. It's wild. The swings that, I mean, even last year, I mean, God, this team was so good last year.
Yes.
They beat every team by double digits except the Rams, who kicked a field goal on the final play of the game to make that single digit victory. And yet, the Niners get in the playoffs against the Lions, and they're getting stomped in the first half of the game. And then they overcome the biggest deficit in the history of the NFC Championship game to win and get back to the Super Bowl again. It's crazy, this team.
You could argue that the team last year was one of the greatest teams ever to not win a Super Bowl.
Yep. Sad but true.
That's their legacy right now. So they're very complicated. They've done so many good things. But if they don't get that ring, their 30 for 30 is going to be full of regret. It's almost going to be a tragedy. Like the missed opportunities.
NFL Network used to do a series called The Missing Rings. You know, they do America's Game for the Champion. They did called The Missing Rings, and it was for all those teams, and it was awesome. But I think they stopped it because I think teams didn't want to sit down for it and do it anymore. But
it's painful.
When I think of these Niners, I think of the Missing Rings, because they absolutely should have one.
I think of the Niners, and also the Patriots from 2007. They went undefeated and then they lost to the Giants. Like, that's kind of how that Super Bowl loss must feel to that team. Like, you had the team, you knew it. You were legitimately better than the Chiefs. You were.
Twice.
And you lost. And you can never, ever get it back. Like, that's just tough. It's really tough. So we'll see. We'll see if they can rally back this year, galvanize themselves.
Another year starts tomorrow as Rookie Mini gets underway. We'll be here covering it all for you on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. That's why you got to like and subscribe right now. Like and subscribe to Grant Cohen's YouTube channel as well. Grant, you got another show coming up later today?
Niners After Dark. We were off last week because Jesse renovated his master bathroom, and it looks freaking phenomenal. But now he's back.
How much YouTube money are you making, Jesse? My God, the bathroom looks gorgeous.
Good Lord. People don't understand about us YouTube creators. We seem like we're just some, you know, guys in our houses. We're all extremely wealthy because of this, but don't tell anyone. Secret.
I'm not in that category.
I'm just kidding.
So anyway, check that out. 49ers After Dark. Jesse, man.
Jesse.
Can you renovate my bathroom next, please? I saw the pictures of that thing. It is absolutely
good taste.
And we'll be back next week talking NFL schedule. Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody.